Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me today. It's just the two of us.
But I'm sitting in Brett's seat, so it's like there's three of us, right?
I guess if you put it that way, but it's been a while since we've been since we've recorded an episode, and we wanted to make sure we got one out to you this week. So there's been just a lot of stuff going on at church, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we just basically ran out of time last week, busy moving stuff out of Stanford because we had to get our stuff out of there, and we moved to a new location this past Sunday. So last week was really hectic, but yeah, like you said, we felt like we wanted to record something this week, so here we are.
Yeah, and we got the late tap out by Brett today. We were expecting to have all three of us, and then he called in sick, so you guys are stuck with just me and Kyle today. So we'll see where this episode goes. It might be a long one. It might be a short one. We don't know. We're just kind of shooting it off the cuff. We're, you know, Brett is here in spirit, so we're doing it a little bit off the dome.
Yeah, so it's, you know, there's been a lot of transitions the last, yeah, I feel like 2-3 weeks for sure. But it seems like the Lord's been kind of transitioning us in general as a church and having some changes. So it's kind of, it's good. I'm not a change lover. It's not my forte, but
although I do love the change from the cold to the warm. It has been getting warmer, so that makes me happy.
Except that it's going to get cold again. It's like up and down, and like, and my body's not liking that much. But yeah, I am ready for some warmer weather as well.
Yeah, so you know, we are as a church in a season of transitions. We were at Stanford Middle School for 17 years, and it's cool because our first official service was in 2007 on Easter Sunday, and our last official service was 17 years later in 2024 on Easter Sunday. Yeah. So it's kind of cool how God lined all that stuff up.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and the number 17 is Pastor Dean's favorite number because I think it's spiritual alignment and natural alignment coming together, right? The 7 and the 10. Right. And so it's kind of cool that God lined it up that way for us to be at Stanford for pretty much exactly 17 years. And now we're in this new phase of transitioning to Twain for a season. And then we'll see if we end up going back to Stanford or if we get something else.
Yeah, I mean, Pastor Barry's already been throwing out some teasers. There's a good chance we don't go back, but there's some new things on the horizon. But I think, yeah, even no matter what it is, it's where we're going, where God's leading us forward, it's a different place. So it's not, even if we did go back to Stanford, it's not the same. It wouldn't be for the same purpose.
Yeah. And so that's part of why we picked last week's Bible reading plan verses, where we're in the book of Numbers, which is the season that the Israelites were in between Egypt and moving to the promised land, where they were just really following the Lord wherever he went. Right. So it was with the cloud and the fire, and when the cloud and the fire rested, they stayed and camped there. And when the fire and the cloud was on the move, that's where they went. And so we're kind of in the season where we're just trying to go where the Lord wants us to go as we prepare to become the city on a hill.
Yeah, I mean, now that you brought that up, when I was reading that last week, I thought it was really interesting that it said if the cloud would stop for a week or a month, they would stay for a week. But if it was for one day, they would stay for one day. I'm like, and then set up the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, man, they do it for one day and then have to do it again. I'm like, okay, yeah, but when you're just following out of obedience and that's what the Lord's doing, then you don't question. You just, I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but if that's where he's leading, then that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, so that's where it does feel kind of interesting that we're in the season that we don't know how long we're going to be at Twain for.
Right.
We don't know what is next even, but we do feel like God is transitioning us to a new season. And we do feel like the end result will be Catalyst becoming the city on the hill. But how do we get there? The Lord only knows, right?
Yeah, right, right. Okay, so I had to tap out this last Sunday. My body was shot. I couldn't make it to service on Sunday.
I mean, it just seems like that's a season right now, too. It's just a lot of people have been getting sick.
Yeah. So I wasn't there. And I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners were able to be there. But for those that weren't, like me, can you describe a little bit of what the day was like, what the feel was like, what some of the, because I heard some feedback from people since then, but since you were there, like what was What was that first day at Twain like?
Well, it was a little stressful for me because, you know, I got the last minute call that I'd have to be moving the trailer. So, you know, as part of our transition, one of the things that we had to do is we don't have storage on campus at Twain like we did at Stanford. So we purchased a trailer and, you know, Kyle's been kind of taking the lead on that and he's been trucking the trailer around and has a lot of experience. So, you know, the first day that we actually have to use it for reels, I get the call that I need to be the one using the trailer. And so, you know, that was an experience and
trial by fire, man.
People that saw, you know, they, let's just say I will never make fun of someone that is parking a boat or towing a trailer ever again, because it is definitely an experience. And
backing up is, it takes some practice for sure.
Yeah, backing up was, like I said, it was an adventure. And those of you that were there to witness it, hopefully you will. That was a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Don't worry. I'm going to take Damon and give him some lessons. By the next time, he'll be good.
So if you don't know, Kyle is like a, he's got driving in his blood. One time we had a men's retreat and we went to K1. And, you know, we're competitive guys, right? And Kyle was so good at K1 that he lapped everybody in the championship round. So it's like you had to win a race to get to the championship round, and he lapped everybody in the championship round. So
no, not
Kyle
really.
Puts us all to shame.
I fell behind a lap, and then I had to catch up because I spun out the first turn, and then I had to. So it was kind of like that, but I actually had to chase down Mike Gonzalez for the title.
So there was a little bit of added stress for me on that side because, you know, just first time driving with a trailer on the back of my van.
Is that your first time ever?
Ever. I've never towed anything ever. So, yeah. So there was that part. But then, you know, that was also my first time going to Twain and being on campus, too. And I think the initial feeling for me was like, wow, this is a really, I mean, it felt like an upgrade over Stanford in terms of cleanliness, you know, because the campus at Stanford has been just getting dirtier and older. And we'd been there for 17 years and they hadn't done any major improvements or anything. So you could just tell the difference in cleanliness and upgrades and things like that. So that part was nice. But one of the things that really stood out to me was the main courtyard. And they just have like this quad area with a courtyard with some grass and then some picnic tables and things
trees,
like that. And it just felt really welcoming and a place where, you know, like our church family could just gather and whether it's mingle or just let the kids run around and play and not worry about them or and being able to see them the whole time. I just felt like it was a real inviting area for our people just to be able to spend time. And, you know, prior to the service, we also had, you know, just we asked people to come at 9:15 to do coffee hour with donuts, and then there was a parent meeting too for orientation for the kids, and just the energy was really good. I really felt like people showed up. You know, on the family ministry side, we had a little bit of a, I guess it was kind of a friendly wager joke type thing to see how many people would show up because, you know, our church is known for people coming late.
Yeah.
And so we were asking, you know, what's the over under on number of families that were going to be showing up. And shout out to our Catalyst family. We went way over what some of the initial projections were going to be on the over-under. So shout out to you guys for showing up early. But yeah, just the feel was really good and the energy was really good. Personally, I was unsure what it was going to be like because, you know, my kids were telling me how they were kind of sad that we were leaving Stanford. You know, that was the only location for church that they'd ever known, and they have all their memories of church on Sunday mornings were there. So I didn't know how it was going to feel being at a new place, but it just really felt like the energy was there. And it really reminded me that, you know, church is people. It's not just a place.
Right.
And so our church family, it just really felt like this is a place where we can come and gather and experience the Lord together and in an environment that's really like comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when I first went into the auditorium, I think everybody probably had the same feeling of, wow, this is way smaller than at Stanford. But in the same way, I really felt like our retreats have been so good for our church people because just the intimacy and mm-hmm. the closeness. And I really felt like this was going to be a place that could replicate some of that feeling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, right away when we first started the worship time, it just really felt like, wow, there's a fullness to what's mm-hmm. going on here mm-hmm. because people are closer together mm-hmm. yeah. and people came early. So they're ready to engage right away. And so, yeah, the worship time was really good. And I just felt like this is a really great start to our time at Twain. And the service time went by really quickly. And then, you know, we were all tight in the auditorium. And then we did some stuff outside. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, is it going to look really sparse outside? What's it going to look like? Because right now it looks really full because we're inside and it's kind of cramped. And outside's pretty big. But I remember peeking my head outside and saying, wow, you know, it actually doesn't feel like we're all spread out. It still felt full. And it felt like, you know, people came. So it was good. It was, yeah, just the feeling of the whole day was good. And, you know, I just really felt blessed that the Lord chose this place for us. And, yeah, it was good. And people hung out for a long time because we had some food afterwards. And, yeah, just the vibes were really, really positive. And some of the people that I talked to, they just really appreciated Twain, and they felt really good there too.
Nice. Yeah, no, I really was looking forward to being there for the first one, as I wanted to get that sense of, okay, what's the environment like? How are people responding? And it was good because I felt like I still got that from hearing it secondhand, mm-hmm. and I could still tell that, oh, this was a good change. I mean, there's always some maybe apprehension or some things that aren't, maybe some things we don't like as much. But overall, from the people I talked to and the feedback I got, it sounded like people really are excited for the change. Because mm-hmm. it, you know, being at Stanford for that long, sometimes it's just kind of like, yeah, maybe we need to try something different. And having that big auditorium is good in some ways, especially with some bigger events, but it also has its drawbacks when people are spread out so far. And you just, like, being up there speaking and stuff too, when you see people spread out so much, it's a different feel. So, yeah. I'm happy. I'm super excited that we had a good turnout and good energy. And I agree with you that that's what our church is, the people. And I'm glad that, I'm glad that people are excited for this new season, even though we don't know exactly how long and then what it's actually going to look like, going forward. But yeah, I feel like the Lord's hand is on it.
Yeah. And another cool, kind of side note thing that happened that I thought was pretty interesting and cool. So, you know, this was the first Sunday of the month, so it was multi-gen service, right? And this is coming off the heels of our last multi-gen service, the one that I got to speak at with Dylan. And, you know, one of the kids came up to me before service and goes, "Hey, Uncle Damon, did you bring us crayons and paper so that we can sweet. Color during the service?"
Yeah, nice.
And I said, "Yes, I didn't forget." And they ran away and they were like, "Yes." So not to say that we're going to do coloring and stuff mm-hmm. every multi-gen service, but that now that we've shown what that can look like, that there's an engagement with the kids, that they're looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that.
And so, yeah, I thought that was kind of neat how just after one service now that kind of shifted the expectation of what that's going to be like. And so we did do an activity this Sunday where we had the kids draw again and mm-hmm. Really just trying to give a blessing to Twain and using kind of the art as a prophetic blessing over the campus, over the different rooms, over the different people that are going to be coming. And so really just trying to use some of the times that we have during multi-gen to empower our kids to see that they can be a blessing to others too. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to this Sunday, but I won't be in there for the, I'm teaching this week. So, I don't get to experience the full service, but, for our listeners who weren't able to come out this Sunday, just really encourage you to get out there, whether it's this week or just sometime soon, and just get a different experience of us doing church at a different location.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you were excited because Pastor Sam's coming and he's speaking.
Oh, of course. I know.
And he's speaking on your favorite verses, the ones that Mimo really loves.
I can't talk about it. You can go ahead and talk about it. Yeah, so, yeah. Oh, man, you're just totally threw under the bus. I can't even say anything.
I mean, she's been on the podcast and talked about that before, right?
I think she's grown. She's past that now. the submission, I don't know what submission reaction that she has, but no, I was looking forward to Sam too, and then I got the email this week. Oh, you're scheduled to help. I'm like, okay, it's good. I like being with the kids, but just after missing last week, I'm like, okay, now in 2 weeks I get to experience the full service inside.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to having Pastor Sam come back. It's always nice to have him just come back and share what the Lord's been teaching him and showing him. And, you know, I think for me personally, that transition has been it's been sad, but it's been good, right? Like just seeing that Sam's not with us regularly mm-hmm. the way that he has been, you know, he was before, mm-hmm. you know, and personally, but just knowing that the Lord is using him in the mighty ways that he is and in shepherding and helping other pastors, mm-hmm. it's really cool to see that. So I think, you know, for me, that's part of, like, our calling as Catalyst is to help launch people into who God made them to be. And so in that, there are times where it can be sad because sometimes when we launch people at outside of our church, mm-hmm. then there's that separation, but it's really cool to see the ways that the Lord is using him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I always enjoy having him come back because there's, in some ways, yeah, I've missed being around him, but then there's other ways where it feels like he hasn't been apart that long. Mm-hmm. And so I think that shows the connection that he has still with us. So, yeah, you got a smirk on your face. I'm like, come on, dude.
Well, just the way that you said it, it's like, in some ways, it's been sad, but in other ways it's been, I thought you were going to say it's good that he's not here because he's kind of annoying or something. Wow. Just the way that you said it was kind of funny.
So. Okay.
At least in my mind, it was kind of funny.
Yeah. You go to some dark places. So just so our listeners don't know that, but we try to shut Damon off because we see those dark things coming out and we have to like, okay, redirect. No. Yeah. So I'm excited. It's funny because, we mentioned it. It was last night at dinner or something. Pastor Sam's coming. And then Eli goes, oh, yeah, all right. He likes listening to him. And then he goes, oh, wait, but it's not multi-gen, so I won't be in there. He's like, Mimo's like, yeah, but you can listen to it on podcasts. So like, listen to the replay. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess so.
Or he could just watch the YouTube, just like,
YouTube,
like
yeah.
you did on Sunday and how you surprised him.
Yeah, so, okay, so Damon sent me the link before it was even uploaded. So before my family even got home from church, I had already watched it. And so then I said something to Eli because he was up on stage for a brief moment. And I said, oh, yeah, you did good with this. You did good in that you got down and low and da-da-da. And he goes, what? How did you know all that? I got people on the inside. I know what's going on.
Or I could have just FaceTimed you the whole time.
Yeah, so yeah, it's good, and actually, I'm actually excited to get back into Ephesians too because it's been 2 weeks off now. Not to get back to it to finish it, just to, we need to get done with it. It's, I feel like the last part of Ephesians is just really good, and mm-hmm. so the husband's wife, the parents, the slave master, like there's some really interesting dynamics and some things that we really can learn, but that we need to learn from those passages. And then of course it ends with the armor of God. And I always like that section. Every time we like go over that, I always learn new things. So I think it's going to be, in some ways I'm looking forward to the completion of it because we've spent a long time on this book and I think it's good. We went through it really thoroughly. So I'm excited for what's coming next, but I'm excited to get back into Ephesians.
Okay, so a thought just came to mind. You know, a lot of the content in regards to those different relationships that are, you know, in towards the end of Ephesians, you know, one of the words that keeps coming up is submit, right? Mm-hmm. Is submission. And I think, you know, like we've talked about before, that can be a loaded term, especially in our culture today. It can be a loaded term. So I was wondering, what do you think about if we were to kind of shift the paradigm of submission to like honoring others? So instead of like, I think the way that we think of submission, it's like I have to lower myself. But what if it's really raising someone else up as opposed to lowering myself? I don't know. Just wanted to see your thoughts. That just came to mind as we were talking about it.
Yeah, I was thinking of it like more horizontally with our human relationships, but then thinking of it vertically with God. Like, yeah, when we submit to God, we raise him up higher. So, that, yeah, I could see that being a different way to look at it. Personally, I don't have an issue with it because I think I'm okay submitting in certain situations and right situations too. So to me, it doesn't have like a negative thing. But yeah, I think sometimes it is just the way we frame it. And especially with cultural context, it can be the word itself can get us into the wrong way of viewing it. So yeah, that could be a good way for people to approach it next week.
So I think part of the reason that I bring that up is because it actually came up in my family, I think yesterday. I think it was yesterday. So I think I was making dinner, and then Riley was watching something on YouTube, and the people on YouTube were being pretty disrespectful of each other. And it was like a child to the parent was being pretty disrespectful. And so we had this conversation about, you know, respecting people that are, especially your parents, and what does honoring look like, and what are some of the purposes of honoring others, right? And when we honor others, really we receive the blessing, right? And so when we honor our parents, we receive a blessing from the Lord, right? And that's when he's able to transfer the blessing from him to or the parents to us. And so we were talking about it in terms of kind of a behind enemy lines terms, like how the enemy doesn't want us to honor others because he doesn't want us to receive the blessing. He wants us to feel like we're an orphan or like we're, you know, God's holding out on us. Mm-hmm. But some of it's just our perception, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, when Jesus was walking around and he was able, the Bible says that he was able to do miracles in all these different places, but when he was in his hometown, he wasn't able to do anything because they didn't honor him as the Messiah, right? They're just like, oh, that's just Jesus. We grew up with him. But in all these other places where they honored him, he was able to do all these amazing things, right? So they missed out on the blessing in his hometown because they weren't putting him in the right place, right? And so that was kind of where what I was trying to get across to Riley is just, you know, a lot of times we think we have to raise ourselves up. And that's the end blessing. But when we actually raise up other people, we receive a blessing in that too.
Yeah, no, it's, I think we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit because I want to see where Pastor Sam goes with it. But yeah, starting to have that thought of, I mean, really it's a heart condition, right? With honoring, with submitting and all of that. It's both sides. Like they have to have their heart in the right place because if you're submitting or honoring somebody else and then their heart isn't in the right place, they can take that and really like more an abusive type of response. But if both have their hearts in the right place, then that's where the blessings flow. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from there.
I know. I was waiting to be the awkward silence and who's going to break it, and I was going to make you break it. So, no, I think that's pretty good for today. But, yeah, it's good. I think anytime somebody brings that passage, especially the husbands and wife one, up, there's always new dynamics and new ways to wrestle with it. So I'm kind of looking forward to next week. We'll have to get a different voice on to bring our back to at least three or hopefully four and get some good discussions.
Yeah, I think we're going to end up needing a female voice on this one, so... If you're out there and you want to come on, and we would love to have you.
If not, we'll make you.
So we hope that, you know, in this season of transition, I think one of the things that Pastor Barry brought up in this past week about timing was really, I felt like that was really impactful when he was talking about, you know, when God says to go, we should go now and not wait and just the effects of timing. So you know, hopefully during the season, in each of the steps of this transition that we're making, we, as a church family, we really feel like the timing is right and we're moving at the right pace, the right speed, and that we really experience all that God has for us during this transition season. Because I do feel like God has stuff for us during this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just so you know, too, there's a lot going on behind the scenes with staff. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we're talking through and spending time on, and you might not see the results or the know the decisions yet, but yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening and really a lot of cool things that the Lord's hand is upon too. So I think we'll be able to share some of it pretty soon, but yeah, this, I think it's going to be a cool adventure that the Lord has us on.
So in the meantime, if you guys could be praying for the staff, the elders, and just our church body as a whole, that we can really maximize this time that we have during this transition season and really use it to come together and be stronger together. Because I really feel like, you know, when you're on the move, when there's uncertainty and there's unknowns in the future, there's different ways that you can approach it. And I really feel like this can be a season where we really kind of huddle together and really become stronger together as we move forward, and the bonds and the different things that come about during this time will just prepare us for what's next.
Yep, for sure.
All right, you have any closing thoughts, Kyle?
Nah, that's about all I got off the dome today. It's my dome's a little cloudy still.
Still recovering from
the stuff going on. My family, it's been like the infirmary the last month, and so every time it looks like we're getting over something, something else happens, and yeah, it's all good. We're trying to keep a good attitude about it, but at some point it just gets kind of tiring. So overall, we're doing well, but in that sense, I feel like we're in transition too. And like you said, I think you said before we started, it's also the time of the year is changing, you know, the spring and the weather's changing. It seems like it always keeps wanting to go back to more of winter, so a chance of rain again. But, yeah, I feel like sometimes we have to fight through those moments. Like, even, like, the weather, it's, like, it's trying to get to spring, but it's, like, getting pulled back. But yet it's still fighting through. There's new flowers budding on a fruit tree we have in our backyard. And it's, like, there's a few that have sprouted, but it's, like, only on one side of the tree. It's, like, it's just, like, there's, like, this struggle. So I feel for us, this season coming up, we have to push through some of these things, and we'll see a lot of good fruit coming if we do.
Oh, and I think one thing that we do want to start pitching and plugging is that upcoming, we are planning on having what Pastor Barry calls kingdom classes.
Oh, right.
And so be on the lookout for those. We're probably going to be starting end of May, mm-hmm. and those are going to be classes that are going to be before service. Mm-hmm. And we will have things on offer for the kids too. So that'll be something exciting is that, yeah. you know, in a lot of times in the past when we've had a class, it's been available to one parent if you have kids or things like that, where you have to find childcare or daycare or something so that both parents could come. But our family ministries will be providing childcare, and not just childcare too. There will be lessons. It'll be more... more in lines of kids' church style. Yeah. And so there will be classes for the kids and also classes for the adults, and in addition to our normal services with children's ministry. So something to look forward to and exciting that during the season that we will be having more training and more things for the adults to experience more of the Lord too. All right, so that wraps up this episode. Thanks for listening again, and until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.